So the whole time he's doing the procedure is pretty quick. He goes in and the song, the lyrics of Hotel California come, and I'm like, oh my God, this is an ode to my vasectomy. Because it's like, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. So it's literally talking to me, you know, down there.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, Ted, another Friday, and it's episode 46. How about we welcome all the Trailer Junkie podcast listeners?
That's right. Happy Dias de Muertos, except it'll be over by now, but tonight's the end of it for us in the real timeline.
Yeah, there you go. So how was your week? Good Halloween week?
Good Halloween week. So Halloween was Wednesday. It's Friday, so I'm in the last week of my six-week program.
Oh, so it's still one more week to go?
No. Tomorrow's the last weigh-in.
Oh, yeah. So where are you? You think you're going to make it?
So I'm 2 ounces over from my weigh-in that I just did about half an hour ago.
Go pee. Go, go in completely nude.
I'm hoping not to have to do that. So
shave the beard. You got it. Like, take the glasses off.
I take the glasses off. I take my watch off. I'm down to my shorts, but I might go.
Dude, shorts way.
Shorts with no boxers maybe underneath. We'll see how far I have to go down, but I'm going to run in the morning before my workout just to sweat it out a little bit more.
Yeah. Get rid of the toenails, the fingernails, clean up the earwax. I mean, you gotta get it out. Like, you're digging at this point. Like, it's $500, man.
I've been pruning it all week, you know, just like
floss the food out of your teeth. I mean, like, I'm thinking like all the places where weight hides.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully tomorrow will be good news, and then we can go from there.
And then we party.
But today it was like a tested day. We at work. I had free lunch that I couldn't eat because I was like, I don't know how fattening these little burger sliders are. So I'm not going to get that. And then I had free dinner. We went to a Dias de Muertos violin concert. Well, you know, a mariachi concert, but at Audrey's violin shop, Metzler's Violin here in Glendale. So that was a lot of fun. I took some videos of that. I put it on Twitter, so you can go see it there.
All right.
And then we had that free dinner at that event too that I couldn't eat.
Uh-huh.
I already had my shakes. So I had my shakes and my one meal that I had complete control over, that skinless 6 ounces of chicken breast.
Oh man.
You know, so I was right down to the wire, because, you know, like you said, I flux about a pound either way. So I need to make sure that if I flux the wrong way, that I still get a good weight tomorrow. So wish me luck.
Oh man, you got all the luck in the world. Yeah, laxatives.
And then Frank and I already made plans to go out to dinner with Frank and Barbara tomorrow night. So
there you go. Celebrate,
me a beer.
Man.
Get me a beer, Frank.
So it's like, on the one hand, it's a celebration. If you don't make it, on the other hand, what the hell you got to lose? Eat all you want. Right?
Right.
Yeah, cool.
How about you? How's your week?
Yeah, week was good. It seems like, you know, as time goes on, like, holidays start way too early and they just keep on going. It was like a month of Halloween. But it did climax here with, obviously, trick-or-treating. And so Timmy's teacher, kindergarten teacher, lives, you know, down the street from us. So he's excited, wants to go. Oh, I gotta go to Miss Aldridge's house. So they go down there, and we're like, okay, we're gonna go down, and then we're gonna work our way back, like 6 houses or something. Be all done with trick-or-treating for the night.
Right.
So we come upon, like, this army of children and parents. Has to be, like, 30 kids.
Oh, my God.
Like, 20-some-odd parents. Or something, you know, or, you know, 10 sets of parents, like, you know, 20 parents.
Yeah.
And so we knew a few people and, you know, a bunch of people, whatever. And so we're like, hey, you know, we just kind of hook up with them. And needless to say, like, we wind up going all over the neighborhood at this point. And it was pretty comical, though. Like, you'd see them, like, these kids go to the door, and, like, some little lady opens the door, and there's like 30 little, like, 5-year-olds or whatever, 4, 5, 6-year-olds staring at them.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I'm like, kids, light on across the street. wait, swarm, you know, and these kids like are just like, I mean, I'm glad there were no cars coming and stuff. There were kids everywhere.
That's crazy.
You know, yeah, it was pretty cool, you know, and they had a good time. Brought the wagon. Mikey was finally done at some point. He like crashed out in the wagon.
What were they?
Timmy was Superman and Mikey was Batman.
But Mikey's Batman every day of his life, right?
Hey, we should all wear cape.
Oh, the cape and the boots.
No capes.
But he's like the Adam West Batman, you know, and like, uh-huh. It's like the pajama Batman and pajama cool. Superman of like the 50s and 60s, whatever. Yeah, none of this like fake muscle stuff, you know, but no, it was cool. A lot of fun. Boys were completely wiped out. I took like half their candy to work. I mean, they just had like, you know, people don't just give like one piece of candy. I mean, they give like handfuls, you know, and we live in a kind of a nice neighborhood. So people are giving like full candy bars, you know, and I mean, it was like ridiculous. But anyway, yeah. So I'm assuming no beer tonight, right?
No beer. Last night with no beer. I'm gonna get a really nice beer next week.
Okay.
A nice treat. I do have one kind of funny Halloween story.
Ooh, do tell.
So we're all of the kids' friends are in Burbank because that's where they go to school, and we're at a friend's house to go trick or treating with a friend, and I get turned around. We're kind of going down different streets, and it's not my neighborhood, so we're like a couple streets off of another street, you know, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm generally familiar with the area, but I don't, you know, ask Anne. She hates my sense of direction. I have very little sense of direction. But we're walking up one of these other streets, and I'm standing there talking to Tad and another dad, and I was like, oh, that's a great door. You know, I love that door. It's a door that has these skinny glass strips in it.
Okay.
And I said, oh, it's a very fit, you know, it's like a kind of a retro door. And I was like, oh, we have friends that have that exact door. You know what I mean? And I was telling Tad about this, and
it was the same house.
And it was Jess and Marcus's house. And it just opens the door and my kids are like, trick or treat. And I was like, oh my God, you know? And I start laughing.
So your sense of direction is so bad, you don't even know you're at their house.
I didn't know I was at their house. I'm distracted, you know, it's dark. So I, you know, normally the birthday parties are during the daytime, and Anne's distracted too. And I'm like, Anne, you know, guess whose house this is? And she finally, you know, figures it out, and she knocks on the door. And I guess she, you know, Jess is further away from the door, and Anne's just like, well, I'm just going to let myself in. So,
oh no.
With all these people that, you know, because the kids are different ages, they don't know the younger kid, you know? And Anne just walks into the house. So all the
worst night to do that,
so,
too.
So all the moms and dads that we're walking with, they're like, oh my God, Anne just walked into that house, you know. It was a funny little scene.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Oh man. Yeah, that's the thing, you know, your sense of direction is an important it's an important thing to have, especially when you embark upon like a friend's house, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe if you're on a bike, but on a car, I always have my GPS. So I'm
good. No, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your beer tonight?
Beer. So I went local tonight. So we have straight from downtown Lompoc. We have Valhalla IPA, which is from Solvang Brewing Company. So Solvang is a little like, you know, like Danish fantasy town. And, you know, they pretend and all this stuff, and Hans Christian Andersen and blah, 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 right?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Come on. We love it. We love going up there.
Oh, yeah. It's a cute little, like walk around, get your, like, chocolate and fake clods and all that stuff. But
I wanted clogs,
I guess. But
I wanted to do, a bed and breakfast there, but I was like, oh, my God, the prices are through the roof. We're just doing a regular hotel.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like total tourist, Central Coast, California tourist, like outrageously expensive, you know? And anyway, so Solvang's like right down the street, not down the street, but I mean like right down the road a little bit. And in Lompoc, they recently, and I know you guys have been there, but they've recently opened, maybe not recently, a couple years ago, have opened their main brewing facility, tap room, restaurant, and all that stuff. And so I got a Valhalla IPA. It was like, so, and they have this whole Nordic theme type stuff going on, you know, and, you know, Viking kind of thing, which kind of where this comes from. 6.5 ABV, 68 IBUs. So it's like a middle of the road IPA.
Yeah.
But yeah, let me open it here. Yeah, and I've had this IPA, you know, a lot, and I saw it in the liquor store today, and I thought, you know, why not? I'll go local. You know, not a lot of people know of it, so why not?
Yeah, there you go. What's that one that we had when we did the podcast there?
The beer?
Yeah, we had like this awesome...
Oh, that one is, yeah, that's a double IPA, I think, and that's like an off-menu IPA.
Yeah.
Silent Treatment, I think they call it.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's a very good one. But yeah, let me take a quick swig. Yeah, I mean, it's totally clean, smooth, hoppy enough, but not one of those, like, you know, like you're chewing on cud or something, like it's grass. You know, I mean, it's, yeah, it's an all-around nice, sweet, fruity, flavorful, enjoyable IPA. I mean, you know, it's one of those, like, if you're done at the end of the day of work and it's a hot afternoon, like, this is the kind of IPA you want to drink. It's light and flavorful, and it's not going to, like, destroy you with ABV, you know?
I can never be destroyed with ABV.
Ah, ha, ha. Yeah. Although the more I drink, the more my tolerance goes up. I don't get destroyed anymore. Yeah. All right, Ted. So what is on the agenda for tonight?
So first, I have to apologize to you. I normally prep it way in advance, but I watched a couple of these earlier in the week, but I didn't. I was just slammed at work all week.
Oh, dude.
We're closing out the fiscal year, so I actually have to deal with some of this end of fiscal year stuff. So that was been my week at work. Very hectic.
Yeah.
But today we have a theme, and I'm going to hold the theme until the end. I know you have a couple of guesses, but we'll figure it out.
Oh, so both my guesses are wrong, or you just want to hold off on it?
Both your guesses are not what I had intended.
Okay.
But I don't want to say they're wrong, because, you know, both your guesses are technically right. You know, it's like...
But not your theme.
But not what I was aiming for.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay.
But let's start off with the first movie, or the first trailer. Isn't it romantic?
It is, Ted.
So Warner Brothers has graced us with a traditional, in air quotes, rom-com. So this is a romantic comedy.
Well, and I love how it plays like a non-rom-com rom-com.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it plays on the stereotype. It does. It's a genre bender. It's not, you know, a gender bender. It's not a remake. It's fresh. It's new.
Wait, what do you mean it's not a remake? It totally is.
A remake of what?
Groundhog Day. Come on, you didn't pick up on that?
No, it's not Groundhog Day.
Oh, please.
No, because every day is a new day. They don't relive the days. They just skip the sex scenes because it's PG-13.
Oh, okay, I got you. See, I was thinking it was Groundhog Day because she has to get it right until someone falls in love with her.
Yeah, no, I don't get that. I think she's locked in this alternate universe, or in her coma or whatever she's in, until she figures it out.
Yeah, you're right, though. The PG-13 part of it. I was thinking...
I love that trope of, like, you know, like cursing and having the backup sound on the truck.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good.
No sex scenes with the hottest man she's ever seen who's in love with her, you know?
Yeah, this never happened. It just cut right to this. Yeah. Yeah, no, it looks funny. I mean, who do you think the audience is for this?
I think this is a rom-com, you know.
Typical rom-com audience.
Yeah, and I think it's heavy on the comedy, you know. I think Rebel Wilson is known for her comedy chops. I think if you're a fan of Rebel Wilson's, then you're in this to win it. It's a holiday movie, so it comes out on Valentine's Day, so it has that,
sure,
that built into it. Yeah, I think your typical couple's movie, if you're going out to a movie on Valentine's Day or with your honey,
yeah,
with your sweetie, then you take her to see this movie. And it nothing takes itself too seriously.
Yeah, it's satire.
The copy, you know, the typography is very fun and light, you know.
Well, choreographed.
It's completely choreographed.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait. I think we're going to see a few more of the dance numbers, and I think
in future trailers
or in like longer pieces. They might have some music lifts that they might pre-release.
Yeah, so Ted, you say that Anne doesn't come close to horror.
Right.
Is this a movie right in her wheelhouse?
I think this is in her wheelhouse. She's not a big Rebel Wilson fan.
Is she a rom-com fan though?
Yes. Yes. We're,
oh.
We're, she's a big Julia fan. Maybe even like full on, I guess Julia's in rom-com space, Notting Hill, Pretty Woman. So do you have a favorite rom-com?
Oh man, I don't know. Like, not really.
So my favorite rom-com is My Best Friend's Wedding.
I mean, okay, maybe if I had to have one, like When Harry Met Sally or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that might, I mean, like, I'm not a big rom-com guy, but like that was a cute one.
Well, I think like everyone, because of the big tent pole and because of needing to drive massive audiences to the theaters, everyone was kind of saying the rom-com's dead. And then there was a big resurgence of rom-coms in the streaming space with Netflix and Hulu. More Netflix than anything, really.
Yeah.
So this is neat to see Warner Brothers releasing a theatrical rom-com classic. But it's kind of like Scream. You know, when Scream came out, it was like completely new and it was a genre twisting. It knew all the tropes of the genre, so it played on them.
Yeah.
So that's what I think this is like.
Yeah, and then, you know, you have like what I always defined as rom-com guy, you know, like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Until he became the Hulk, I guess. But yeah, otherwise he's rom-com guy. Yeah. No, I mean, overall it looks like a cute movie. And I mean, I don't know if I would go to the theater to see it, but if it's one of those ones, you know, like you said, it's like Valentine's, you're sitting around or something and it's like, hey, let's watch this, you know, and whatever. But I don't know. Clarissa didn't seem to be too into it.
But, you know, it's kind of a hangover movie, kind of, you know, that kind of space, remember?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit something like that. Like, if you just want something light and kind of humor and brainless and just sit and watch it, you know, it's like, it's kind of there. It's not too deep. It's not going to be too emotional. You know, you're going to laugh and I mean, it's not one of those ones where you really have to focus on character development and, you know, and dialogue and, you know, right. What I mean? It's like, yeah, it's just going to be just like right out up in front. This is what it is. No secrets, you know, it's just here you go.
Right.
Enjoy. Right. Yeah.
The Disney movie that I was thinking about was Enchanted.
Enchanted. I don't know if I've heard of that one.
So Enchanted's like a mix of animation and live action.
Okay.
It opens and closes as an animated Disney feature, but it really, most of it takes place in the real world in live action.
Yes, I do know the one you're talking about.
And the musical number that takes place in Central Park is amazing. And I saw some hints of that in this. So that musical number in Central Park is amazing. And then in My Best Friend's Wedding in the seafood restaurant, they do, I have a little, what is it? I sing a little prayer for you that, qu'est-ce que c'est Dion? So there's a couple musical numbers in these rom-coms that I'm hoping we get a couple of songs in Isn't It Romantic?
And then they bring in like a lot of the retro music.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a great some Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison, yeah. But yeah. The Roy Orbison was more of a nod to Julia Roberts, right? Don't you think? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's kind of what starts it off. Like, yeah, none of us are, you know, just look at us. We're not Julia Roberts or whatever. And
yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, we had Rebel Wilson has her love of rom-coms destroyed by her mother, you know, and then she has to live hating rom-coms the rest of her life until this until this moment, you know?
Yeah, until she gets knocked into rom-com land. Yeah.
Cool. So I'm definitely going to watch it streaming unless Anne's in the mood to see it around Valentine's Day.
Hey, $5 Tuesdays, man.
$5 Tuesdays. Still haven't used it because we're too tired.
Yeah, you got $500 to get. All right, cool. Yeah, like I said, I mean, probably streaming too for us if we do watch it. I mean, you know, this is definitely, you know, not a no, we won't, but you know, you never know. But this is like a, yeah, if it's on and it's sitting there and it pops up first thing on Netflix, like, boop, let's watch it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cold Pursuit, coming up just in time for winter.
So winter is the next two of our movies, but yes, Yes, Cold Pursuit is first. I love this idea of Liam Neeson as kind of this everyman, a snowplow driver. You know what I mean?
Well, he's like an ice road trucker, whatever that thing was like on History Channel.
Right. And he plays so plain. And he's like a model citizen of this town, you know? And it's another trope of revenge, you know? It's like, this is Liam Neeson's meat and potatoes, right? I mean, this is Taken. This is like...
Yeah, it's like Taken, or perhaps the sequel Tooken, you know? And I mean, the dude kills with the stealth of a Jedi. He's taken one from like all his movies and rolling it into this, and he knows how to kill now.
That's right. He saw it on... he read it in a book.
That's right. Yeah. But do you think... I don't know. What is the guy that... He's not really a doctor. Maybe coroner, I guess? Where he's like... Where he says, oh, my son's not a drug addict. Yeah, all the parents say that. Do you think someone's really that cold-hearted to be like, hey, you asked. All the parents say that. Your kid died of drugs. Get over it.
Oh, man. Yes.
You know, I mean, like, come on. Really? The guy's that cold-hearted? Well, it is Alaska. Maybe he is cold-hearted.
No, I think it's, yeah, to me, that is screenwriting 101 kind of way too on the nose, you know? it's not great. It's not a great line of dialogue. And because this is a remake of a Norwegian film or something like that, I think something was lost in translation, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things, I think, where it's the dialogue that moves the story forward, because it tells me that the writing and possibly the directing, but certainly the writer, is thinking of the audience as not being sophisticated enough to pick up on, oh, he doesn't think that his son really died, but maybe his son really died and there's this other thing going on with like this gang. So we need to just put it out there. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I don't know, it's kind of belittling on the writer's behalf, I think.
Yeah, there's no trust in the audience trying to figure things out.
Exactly.
And this, there's no sense of suspension. Well, there's no sense of wonder as far as what's going to happen in this movie. I think every single plot point is shown in this trailer.
Well, I think the sense of wonder is, how is he going to kill the next guy?
Oh, the next guy.
Yeah.
The same way he killed the last guy. He's got the perfect, you know, killing field. He plows this one road every day of his life.
Yeah, but he puts a tree through a top of a car. Like, that's not the same way he killed the previous guy. I mean,
oh, I guess so. I guess so. Okay, so
yeah, like every kill, I think, is going to be unique to the last kill,
and applauded by the police.
Right.
I think at the end, the police should be like watching him kill the last of the gangsters and like golf clapping, you know?
Well, and I think too, I mean, obviously the movie is probably like out of sequence.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not the movie, the trailer is out of sequence to what the movie is going to produce. But yeah.
Because I mean, even they even kind of gave that away, right? They have the cops like okay with him killing bad guys because they're bad guys, you know?
Well, isn't that the premise of Dexter in a sense? Like the serial killer who kills serial killers, and like, yeah, people want to get him, but they have like a weak attempt at trying,
right?
Because they know he's like cleaning up the streets.
He's doing what they can't get done.
Yeah, because they're bound by the Constitution. Yeah, if only we could get rid of that pesky thing. Yeah, I don't know. That like this looks. I mean, I don't know. It's if it's like date night movie. You know, like, you go instead. So you do a double feature. Baby, I'll go see your movie. You go see my movie. What's your movie, honey? Don't worry. We'll see. You'll know it when you see it. Right? And you just do the back-to-back double feature of, like, you know, isn't it romantic? And then Cold Pursuit.
Yeah. Well, I guess it'll still be in the theater. But Cold Pursuit comes out a week prior to Isn't It Romantic? So maybe you see Cold Pursuit first, but we'll see.
Yeah, but you don't tell color, that's what it is.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, you just like go out of one door, go into the next, and then she's like, what's this? You know? Yeah. So would you see this? I don't know.
I'm not interested in it. I thought it was interesting to me for its the way that it's doing the genre that this actor is kind of known for with Taken, and kind of he built a franchise around him, around this revenge plot, this family revenge plot. So Taken had some neat stuff about it because he was the ultimate assassin, you know, agent.
Well, he had a unique set of skills.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills.
That's right. And in this one, it's like he's an everyman. And I think it's hard for me to believe that Liam Neeson wanted to kill some people because of what they did to his family. It's like, well, it's Liam Neeson. We know he can take care of this regardless of what character he's playing, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, and think of it in these terms, right? So he's the everyman doing the snowplow up and down the road day in, day out. I don't know how it snows that much, but I guess it does, where he needs to plow every day, but maybe drifts and such.
Drift, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so he's like the everyman. His son dies by the hand of this like drug gang, which I didn't realize drug gangs were so far north, but I guess they are. And, you know, heroin and all this stuff. I mean, I guess it's everywhere, but...
Everywhere.
But then the thing that calls into question to me is, you get this guy who's the everyman, like you're the everyman, I'm the everyman. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like I just know how to just kill everybody with impunity. The baddest dudes on the planet, I'm just taking out one by one. You know, they don't even know where I am, where I'm coming from. Like, I'm just this, like, killer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're upset your kid, but, like, to become an assassin, in a sense, to where you could take people out to where, like, you don't get caught and they don't know who you are and they don't see it coming. I don't know. It just doesn't seem plausible.
Yeah, I agree. It's not plausible. There's a lot of suspension of disbelief in this one. There's a lot of suspension and disbelief in the last one, but that too is not the theme that I was going for.
Well, when you have choreographed people in, you know, Central Park or whatever in New York, and like, you know, like somebody does like a makeover on in New York, I mean, a fancy makeover, like, of course it's a suspension of disbelief.
But this one is I don't know. It's kind of growing on me. Even just over the course of talking about it, you know, maybe it's a prequel to Taken.
That could be. And then after that, he was like, you know what? I got to do this full time.
Yeah, full time. And then I got to get a new family and kind of just forget about Laura Dern, you know, and this snowplow. Yeah, that's right. He goes, look, here's my calling card. I've killed a bunch of people.
Puts in his resume with the CIA. I've already taken out like the biggest crime family there was in the North. Yeah, so hire me.
How'd you like the score on this one? You mentioned the music on the last one.
Oh, yeah, Blue Oyster Cult, man. It was cool. And then it was kind of neat how, like, it, at first I thought it was, like, my YouTube feed or something when they would, like, do the little, like, cut, and then they'd, like, the remix of Blue Oyster Cult a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like, wait, what's going on here? I'm like, oh, I get it.
But I think that staccato cut where they cut it all out, then picture and sound cut out, it really draws you back into watching it, you know, if you're at all distracted, or if you're watching it on a loop or something, and it auto plays, and you might get pulled back into it. I do have one criticism for the music, though.
Do tell.
Not enough cowbell.
I could have used a little more cowbell.
Not enough cowbell. I've had this watch up my ass. Oh, classic. Yeah, I see the audience. So like when I was in the army, uh-huh, and we'd be in the barracks, movies like this would come out, right? And guys, and this is in the days of like, you know, pre-streaming, you know, prior to streaming.
Right.
And in the days, I mean, prior to Blu-ray, but DVDs were out, you know, I mean, then there were DVDs. And what we would do is there'd be movies like this and Bourne Identity kind of movies and such. And we would all pile into some guy's barracks room, you know, and climb, you know, and just kind of climb around and sit there and, I don't know, like 19-inch CRT. It was probably even prior to like, what do you call it? Like flat screens, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally was prior to, I mean, or, well, flat screens existed, but we weren't paying $20,000 for like, you know, a 30-inch, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
But yeah, so you'd watch these kind of movies where it's like just some total badass killing people like in a million different ways. And that was like, and then, you know, drink beer and, you know, that was like army life on the weekends or something. And I could totally see this being played out in barracks across the military.
There you go. Like,
yeah.
Universal Soldier.
All that stuff.
Bloodsport. All the Jean-Claude Van Damme stuff, you know?
All that stuff. Yeah, that was like, that was like any weekend USA. You know?
Yeah, I think I watched this again. I watched the trailer again while we were talking, and it's definitely grown on me. You know, it plays out, you know.
Oh, I think it's a great trailer, you know?
There's a shootout in the trailer, yeah. And you don't know
right.
What's going on. So that's, there's definitely stuff. There's stuff upon a couple of viewings, just looking back on it, I thought, oh, there's nothing to this. But then that doesn't really matter. That's not what this is about. This is about the genre of fun popcorn action movies.
Oh, yeah, completely. Like, you're watching this because you're just awake and you got a bucket of popcorn and
I'm even giving the writer a pass on what we were talking about before. It's like, you know,
yeah,
take your paycheck and go home. It's fine. You got it.
Yeah. I mean, like, and you're just watching it for no other reason than like, I need to be entertained right now. Just let's do this thing. So does that mean you will see it then?
I guess it's growing on me. Yeah, we'll check it out. Well, it'll be streaming the same time the other movie is streaming. So I think it's a double feature.
There you go. So the one thing that bothers me about movies like this sometimes, and you know, it goes back to things like, oh, I don't know, maybe Hostel. Hostel's a little bit different, but I mean the gruesomeness I'm saying, or even something like Reservoir Dogs.
Come on. Throw in a buck.
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
Like the scenes that were in Maniac.
Yeah.
Where they're blowing people away with shotguns and like, you know, they're laying there with their guts hanging out and stuff. I mean, just like,
ugh.
The one thing is, leaves a little bit to my imagination. Like, you don't have to show me everything, you know? And I kind of hope that's where this goes. Like, for example, when the tree goes through the top of the car, like, I don't need to see the guy smashed. I know he's smashed.
Yeah.
You know? So as long as they kind of leave some of that stuff to the imagination, like, I'm fine. If they want to show the gruesomeness of every killing and stuff, it'll get old after a while, I think.
Yeah. And the thing that really caught me upon the repeat viewing that I just watched right now, when he's, and I'm thinking it's got to be his first kill, you know, because we've said it's out of sequence, so we don't know exactly when. But there's that moment of kind of close to the end of the trailer where he's choking the guy to death or something.
Oh, and the guy wakes up.
And he wakes up.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, that's such a rookie mistake, you know?
Well, and then he has the look like, oh shit, I didn't finish. And he goes back at him, you know, like, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, you know.
And I was like, oh, that's a little unexpected. So there's some nuggets throughout this thing that give it a reason.
Like he's learning his craft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I said it's like a prequel.
Yeah, there you go.
So there, it's more redeeming. It's more redeeming than I thought.
I thought you were going to say it was endearing. All right, man. Speaking of endearing, let's talk about Santa Claus.
A beautiful segue. Good job.
Yeah, let's talk about Santa Claus and the Christmas Chronicles.
So the Christmas Chronicles, we got every week we do a Netflix something, you know?
How do you not? They're so like, it's so profound.
There's so many.
It's right there. And the thing about Netflix is a couple things. One, they're putting out good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's so easy to consume and readily available. And three, our audience and everyone in between, everybody has Netflix.
Yeah.
Like everybody has Netflix. So you talk about it, Netflix is like, oh yeah, it's Netflix. Like who's not paying $10.99 or whatever, you know?
So does the world need another another Christmas movie?
You know, I thought the same thing. Like, do we need to go here again? But then again, yeah, it does. Because I think every generation, and when you look at generations, let's say generation is like, I don't know, 5 years, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, you're looking at, like, well, of course you have the classics that go like way back, but we'll skip those for now. But if you look at something like the Santa Claus.
Right.
You know, and then you move into like Elf. And then you move into like, you know, this one now, you know, like the Christmas Chronicle or even A Christmas Story. Like maybe what was that, like late 80s or something? I forget.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, like, so every 5 years you come out with or you know, the, like Hollywood comes out with like a Christmas movie of that like age group, let's say.
What's yours? What's your favorite from your nostalgia point of view?
Oh, I think A Christmas Story is awesome because that was my childhood growing up.
Yeah, I think Christmas Vacation for me.
Christmas Vacation's a good one, yeah. That, and there's another one, right?
Merry Christmas! Dinner was full!
Like every few years, you get a new crop of people who got left out of the last one.
Right.
Because like, I think what happens is Christmas has a small window, you know? So you have like childhood when you do believe in Santa. Maybe I shouldn't say that too loud. The boys might hear. But no, you have childhood when you do believe in Santa. And then you have like adolescent when you're like too cool for Santa.
Right.
And then you swing back around to maybe like your early 20s or something or mid 20s when you're like, well, no, Santa's cool again.
Right.
I know he's not real, but like it's cool again. And then all of a sudden, like you become a parent. So like every few years, there's like a milestone in somebody's life. And those movies touch on wherever you are in that milestone.
Right. And it's so funny because the Santa Claus movies, the whole series, it's one of Anne's favorite. And our kids, 9 and 12, you know, they love them. So we watch them every season. We love Arthur Christmas. So we definitely have our movies that we watch every Christmas and we kind of add to them. It's so funny because Anne isn't a big fan of Christmas Vacation, but I don't think I've even tried to watch that with her because we have so many other holiday movies with the kids. So because it's not a kids-friendly movie, we don't end up watching it as often as the rest.
Well, that's because
dinner was full.
But this one looks pretty family friendly. It has this beautiful legacy cell. You know, I don't know.
Oh, the Harry Potter and all that.
It's a Harry Potter and Home Alone produced. You know, it's like how could you get a better pedigree than these two franchises of?
Yeah, Home Alone's another one that.
Yeah.
That's like kind of there. Although that's sort of Christmas. I mean, it is Christmas, but it's not.
It's definitely a Christmas movie.
It's not traditional Christmas, though. You know what I mean?
I did forget Anne's favorite Christmas movie. It is also one of my favorite Christmas movies. Can you guess it?
Well, my favorite all time is It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh.
But
ours is Die Hard.
I would never have guessed.
Die Hard was released in July, I believe.
Oh, was it really?
But because it takes place around Christmas time, it has become a very beloved Christmas movie, no, regardless of what Bruce Willis says.
That's hilarious.
Bruce Willis says it's not a Christmas movie, but he's not the boss of me.
That's right. But yeah, I mean, like for myself, like if I got to pick like one that I got to live with forever, it's probably It's a Wonderful Life because I don't know. That's, I just love that movie.
That's just
classic.
Just a heart wrencher. Just pull my heart out.
Yeah, it's a classic. But if you're looking at over time, you know, you're probably, yeah, I mean, probably like a close second is A Christmas Story. And then, I mean, Elf is just awesome.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
I mean, it is so funny, you know, because when he's eating gum off the bottom of the railing, I mean, like, yeah, like, I mean, it's free candy, right?
Yeah, it's just the innocence of Elf is fun.
Bob Newhart, like being, I mean, like, yeah, it's just, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
And you're right, because I think what's so endearing is exactly what you said, is his innocence.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that the social norms of society don't align with his idea of what, you know, he's just a kid, you know, in a man's body.
He's a big kid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's great. But okay, so getting into the trailer itself, one of the things I think that is is off-putting a little bit is this trailer is way out of time sequence. Like, it is all over the place.
Yeah?
You didn't get that vibe?
Well, the trailer to the trailer is in there. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, there's that whole... No, I'm talking about if you just watch the trailer. Like, the sequence, I mean, it starts off kind of in order, and then once they meet Santa Claus, it's like jumping around and jump cuts like crazy.
Oh.
And you can't keep track of what's going on and where, and he's in jail, and then he's not in jail, and he's... and then they crashed, but then the next scene is they're flying, and it's like, it just kind of like, it throws you, you know what I mean?
Ah, so it needs a little more connective tissue. It kind of...
I think so.
It jumps around too much for you.
Yeah, I think so. And then, so as I said, like the underlying theme you asked if I could guess it, and I said all the retro music in each one of these trailers.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing about this is it's James Brown.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a little bit too subtle in how they're playing it, where the other ones were like in-your-face music. This is kind of like under the surface.
Oh, because it's, well...
It's just a little bit more quiet and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's...
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad thing, but...
It's a neat play on words, though. Papa's got a brand new bag, you know? It's like the guy with the bag is, you know...
Oh, of course, yeah.
Santa. And, you know, it's cool to think of Santa trying to get an Uber, you know what I mean? That's something that hasn't happened before. So, like, there's these topical references of what you're saying, you know, why every 5 years you need something like this.
Yeah.
So we can attach the topical references to tried and true traditions, you know?
Yeah, and I think along that note, too, is like the Coke can with Santa or Pepsi can, whatever it was with Santa on it. And then he's just getting angry, like, why do they keep drawing me like that, you know? Because, like, for some reason, a big old belly and stuff, like, Santa can't be fit, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fun part about the Santa Claus, where he keeps getting fat no matter what he does. And then he starts like sweets.
Right, right.
And then this just takes it completely the other direction where, you know, Kurt's like still an action star, kind of, you know, he's fit.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's showing the cop his butt and stuff. And it's, it's hilarious. You know, Bryce would love that scene, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I mean, it looks cute. It looks, I mean, it's on Netflix and Clarissa, we watched the trailers together and she said, do you think we should watch this one? I said, well, yeah, it's on Netflix. Why not? It's a Christmas movie. And then she said, you think the boys will like it? I'm like, why wouldn't they? I mean, it's like Christmas stuff, you know, Santa Claus and elves and, you know, and they're trying to fix the sleigh and the one guy's got like the welding hood, you know?
Oh, it was great. That was one of my favorite scenes because it plays out. The timing on that was very well played and they let it breathe in that space. This is my least favorite of the trailer to the trailer of what we had this week.
Yeah, I don't think they did a good job with it. I mean...
Yeah, I don't think they needed it.
It was a little bit lame.
I don't think they needed it. And, you know.
I agree.
They're Netflix.
And why is...
What are they doing?
Exactly. And why is Netflix doing a trailer to the trailer? I mean...
That's what I'm saying.
Like, the primary reason why I would say is, so everybody has Netflix. You turn on Netflix. All you have to do is like, I hate to say mouse over because it's really not a mouse. I mean, well, if you're on a computer, I guess, but like...
But if you're on the OTT, you're on your Apple TV or your Firebox or whatever it's called, Roku,
Yeah, Roku and all that stuff. And all you do is click on it. You don't open it. You just like, you just, you know...
Hover, yeah.
Hover whatever over, yeah. And it automatically starts playing that trailer. Like, do you need a trailer to the trailer when it automatically starts playing the trailer? Because you're either going to watch because you're interested or you're going to just move away, you know? And I don't know.
And to me, the things that they're showing in this trailer,
it's not a hook.
I guess, yeah. I mean, Kurt Russell is a bit of a hook, but as far as him throwing the present down the chimney or whatever, and the boy saying whatever he says,
yeah,
it doesn't, yeah, there's not much meat to it. It's like,
sure,
you could get away with him, Kurt Russell, just saying, let's get this party started, and then just go into the trailer.
See, that would be cool because, like, it's like a double entendre sort of a thing.
Yeah.
It's the trailer to the trailer and it's, well, it's getting the party started. Yeah.
Talking to the audience. Yeah, it's talking to the audience. It's like, we're going to skip the trailer to the trailer because they're stupid. And we're going to get straight into it because we're...
And we're going to get this party started.
Because we're Netflix and we don't, you know, we don't have to do the trailer to the trailer. Your barrier to entry into our product is so low that you could stream whatever you want.
Yeah, you've already, like, it's a sunk cost. You're already paying for it, right? It's like I said, it's a sunk cost. You're there. Like, turn it on and go.
Right.
That's it. Like, you don't have to drive anywhere. You don't have to spend $13 a person. You know, you don't have to get a bucket of popcorn. You know, you don't have to do anything. Just like,
right,
sit on your sofa, you know?
You don't have to wade through, you know, one of our traditions is getting the 25 Days of Christmas from Freeform. Used to be ABC Family. And we...
Is that a, like, a digital, what do they call those things?
Well, no, it's an actual physical...
Event calendar or something?
Yeah, well, it could be. But
yeah,
this is just a cardboard piece of paper, and it has the 25 Days of Christmas and all the Christmas movies that Freeform plays in the run-up to Christmas and the 25 Days of Christmas. So all through December, they play a bunch of, you know, rom-com geared holiday movies and traditional holiday movies and
yeah,
tons of Polar Express and, you know.
See, there's another one, Polar Express, you know?
So I think this is very interesting because now Netflix will have their own movie that people can kind of build a tradition around, and they don't have to, you know, when you're searching for a Christmas movie, if they don't have exactly what you want, but it's fun and entertaining and family friendly, then at least you can play it and not be too concerned about what you're going to do for the next couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it, like, again, I think it plays into what I said, like, you know, now that you mentioned Polar Express and, you know, there's 25 Days of Christmas and so on. I mean, sure, there's a ton of Christmas movies. I mean, there's no shortage of Christmas movies. But I think it does play into how each generation, or maybe not each generation, each age group or something.
Yeah.
You know, like each age group has, yeah, because a generation could be like 20 years or something. But no, but how each age group has like their sweet spot, and like no one really is left out of Christmas.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, it's like, I mean, even like Jewish kids have their own Christmas movies, I'm sure, somewhere out there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like in some weird, like somebody wrote some movie that incorporates like Jewish kids. You know, like, I don't know what it is, but I get it. You know, Neil Diamond singing Christmas, and Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand, you know, when you got Jewish people making money off of, you know, like, what do you call it? Christmas songs. Like, hey, everybody's involved with Christmas, right?
Yep.
Why not? But
so,
yeah, I mean, it looks cute. I'm going to see it. You know, me and my family are going to watch.
Eight Crazy Nights. Eight Crazy Nights.
There you go.
Is the animated Adam Sandler Hanukkah movie.
Totally. I mean, I knew it. Yeah, just like, you know, his songs and stuff, you know, and
right.
Yeah, but no, me and my family are going to watch this for sure. I mean, I'm hoping that the boys aren't a little too young and maybe freaked out like, oh my God, Santa crashed and the reindeer flew off and they can't, you know, maybe they don't figure out like, no, Mikey, that's really like just the joke of the whole thing.
Right.
Which is what starts the story.
I love that. I you know, I kind of, it's a love hate thing. It's a neat thing to know that your children are still innocent enough that they can't handle like even a dramatic crescendo, you know, like when
right,
when something's coming to a head and like one group of people that you've seen in a movie know something, a secret, and then they run up against a group that doesn't know, or a person that doesn't know the other part of this secret, Bryce will dive behind that sofa and I'm like, what are you doing? We've seen this movie before. You know that. He goes, I don't like the conflict.
That's hilarious. Well, what they don't show, I mean, they show the crash and, or the separation of the rains and everything, and then the crash, but they don't really show you what causes it.
Right.
At least I didn't catch that, but maybe they'll.
Well, isn't it the kids? The kids like spook him. They spook Santa.
Yeah, but why would the whole, so they spook him. Why would it all break apart?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't know that.
Yeah, it doesn't mean like the rains are going to come apart. Yeah, so there's got to be something else, like flying through the air or something that, you know, we're not seeing in this trailer.
Oh, it's that near miss with that jumbo jet or something. I don't know.
And if it is, then that's more out of context, out of order stuff that I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I don't know, but I'm assuming your family's gonna see this.
We're gonna see it. I don't know if we're gonna see it when I think it comes out.
Oh yeah, I'm probably not gonna see it the night it comes out, but
right,
it'll be some winter night. We'll make popcorn. It'll probably be sometime mid-December or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it comes out on Thanksgiving, so yeah, it's a little soon for me. I think you said that Christmas has a narrow window, but that window keeps widening every year. How's that beer?
Oh yeah, oh boy,
is it good?
It's a 22 ouncer too. I'm getting after it. No, I mean, I think earlier I made the comment about, you know, how Halloween is like a month long.
Oh right.
And you know, here we are. Okay, I'll say it like this. So work in a high school, and sometimes, you know, like school starts like mid-August, and I'll walk past the music building and they'll be singing, you know, like "I'll Come All Ye Faithful" or something, and it's like August 16th, you know. And I'm thinking, like, Christmas music. I'm like, oh well, that makes sense, because it's
practice.
The choir. Yeah, it's the choir, it's the Christmas pageant, it's the play, it's whatever it is, and they have to just practice for it and everything, right? So like they're already doing the Christmas music like first week of school in August. So now you jump forward and the stores are putting out Christmas stuff so early. They're putting out Halloween stuff so early. They're doing like, I mean, it's like 31 days of Halloween in the month of October. I mean, it's like ridiculous.
There were places that had Christmas stuff up the week before Halloween, and we're like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't. That's against the rules.
It's like a violation of something. I don't know what, but there's a rule out there that says no. And they just violated it. But you can't call them on it because you don't know the section, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's very complicated. Laws are very complicated.
Yeah, right. But here's the question, the statement that I have about it is, there is a narrow window. I think what I meant by it being a narrow window with Halloween, or I'm sorry, with Christmas, is that the window is like where the kids are and everyone else has to abide by this long, well, it's not really a tale. It's like a, what would you call it, like in front, the prequel? Like a tale is like after the fact.
Right, right. The run-up?
The run-up to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the run-up is really all about the parents and stuff getting all the crap
prep
together.
Yeah.
You know? Where the kids just want, like, the big day. That's all they care about, the big day, you know? And then once the big day's over, like, well, then nobody cares. Yeah. Because the kids just are like, oh, finally, the big day's here. The mother of all days, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, anyway, I think we've taken it a little bit long, but...
All right, so the theme... Yeah. For this week, I love the idea of the retro music.
Okay,
it's definitely a good thread through all these trailers. And then,
so you acknowledge it is a theme, but not your theme.
It is a theme, right? Not the one that I was going
with. Okay, gotcha.
And then you also said they all had a twist. Well, I don't know, Christmas Chronicles, it might have a twist, but it's not. There's no twist in the trailer for it.
No, I thought there was,
but where?
Well, it's what, like, I think the twist was the kids are trying to do like their videos and capture Santa. You don't believe Santa's alive or, you know, like real.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden the kids are there and it's like, oh my God, Santa really is here.
Uh-huh.
And that's really the twist, right?
Okay.
Because like they're like face to face with Santa trying to like help him like with Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So there's that, also a good thread through all of them. But for me this week, the reason I put these three together was
oh man, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Oh no, I built it up too much. It's the whole idea of genres turned on their head, you know? It's the unexpected genre movie that knows all of the rules of the genre and then just turns it on its head to give you a fresh take in it. So
what's the cold pursuit genre?
Cold pursuit genre is the revenge action movie.
Oh, okay.
And the fact that he's not, you know, the fact that he doesn't know how to kill people at the beginning of this movie, and apparently through at least one or two of the killings, you know, is kind of that thing where he's like, oh, I'm just a regular guy. And guess what? I'm such a regular guy that I thought he was dead. And now I have to go really kill him, you know? So each one of those moments was a lot like Scream, where the first Scream, which is just such a masterpiece.
A masterpiece.
You laugh at me, but I agree with Film Twitter. Film Twitter's loving the original Scream. And
oh no, I love Scream, but I just laugh that you call it a masterpiece.
All right, maybe I'm a little heavy on it, but yeah. because I'm not a horror fan, that's exactly the kind of horror that I like. You know, it's like,
okay, yeah, sure.
It's a horror that pokes fun at the genre of horror. You know,
sure, it's a masterpiece. I get it.
Oh, give it to me. Come on.
Yeah.
So all of these movies know their genre, they know their audience, and they're playing into their audience's hand, and as well as giving their audiences some unexpected surprises along the way. So hopefully they can all deliver on the unexpected yet anticipated, you know, delivery.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I mean, I think you're onto something there.
And do we need another action movie, revenge, you know, action movie? And do we need another rom-com? You know, you could say about it, any of them.
Exactly, right? And the point I'm getting at is, do we need another, like, Christmas Vacation was a play on Come to My House for Dinner.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, what was, what is it, like White Christmas or something, right? Everybody comes over and it's like the, you know, the homogenous walk in the house, the turkey's on the table, and oh my God, it's, you know, who's the artist?
Norman Rockwell.
Norman what Rockwell, right.
Ah, yeah.
It's the Norman Rockwell Christmas and all this stuff, and it's like, okay, sure, whatever. Well, this turns it on its head a little bit because, like, now kids have to help Santa and, you know, and obviously I think some of it is Christmas spirit is lost.
Yes.
We need to rekindle Christmas spirit. I think that's a played out theme that's happened time and again.
Right.
I mean, you see it with Scrooge, and I mean, going way back.
Oh, I love Scrooge.
The Bill Murray one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking the original Scrooge from...
Oh, you're talking about, yes.
A Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol, yes.
A Christmas Carol. But Scrooge is good too, though, yeah. And, you know, we watched that last year, and it just... I don't think it holds up.
Oh, it doesn't?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm scared to watch it now.
Yeah. I mean, it's still funny and stuff. Bill Murray is still Bill Murray, but I don't think it holds up, though. And I think his brother's in it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His brother's in a lot of stuff, right?
In a lot, yeah, yeah. But no, and then...
Another Bobcat Goldthwait one.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, all these movies, I think, turn, like you said, I mean, like, we don't need another one, but they turn it on its head to the point where it's a fresh take that gets a good audience, and or is going to get a good audience, you know, good viewership. And I just think it's, yeah, like you said, I mean, I think it gets people, like, excited about the genre that's been way overplayed.
Awesome.
Yeah, so.
So any last notes on your beer?
Still have about a half a glass. It was a 22-ouncer, so I'm a little buzzed, if you couldn't tell in my conversation. but no, I mean, totally smooth. Like, this is one of those, like, all-day drinkable, like, IPAs you can do. I mean, it's, like, right down the middle. It's not one of those, like, overly bitter, overly grassy, overly, like, citrusy or fruity. I mean, it's, like, a really good, well-balanced, you know? And if you find yourself on the central coast of California, like...
check out some Solvang.
Yeah, Valhalla IPA. Can't go wrong. If you find yourself as a tourist up going up Highway 1, you know, Highway 1's a place where people want to go take vacation, little drive to see the sights. Well, we live right off Highway 1 and we go right past Solvang Brewery, and Highway 1 goes right past my house, and yeah.
So just make sure you wave at Jimmy. He'll be on a bike.
Or my wife. And, you know, if you look at our Twitter, not Twitter, what is it? It's Instagram feed. You might see our little shark bike, you know, and although it's not a little bike, it's kind of a big bike. Or go to our website, you'll see it there.
That's right. We have our
yeah
our fun photo of you and I biking around.
Yeah, now and we'll have to get a fresh one though, because now we have the tiger shark, like,
oh, that's right,
mouth, you know.
That was pre-stickers.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ted.
Oh, one last story.
Oh yeah, hit me.
So we were at this El Mariachi show this evening, and they played Hotel California, which was a beautiful song
with violins.
With violins and full El Mariachi band. And if I talk to Anne, you might have to cut this. But so I have a very special place in my heart in my mind for Hotel California. So I was in for a procedure, and I had a vasectomy. And while I was getting my vasectomy, the doctor said he would put on some Pandora, some music. So he asked me what I wanted to play. And I was like, I don't know. Just what do you normally play? Something, you know, nothing crazy, you know, nothing.
Speed metal.
Nothing like that. I said, just put on some, you know, like light rock or something, you know? So I told her to do that. And Hotel California came on. So the whole time he's doing the procedure is pretty quick, he goes in and the lyrics of Hotel California come, and I'm like, oh my god, this is an ode to my vasectomy, because it's like, you could check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. So it's literally talking to me, you know, down there. And now whenever I hear this song out in the wild, in the world, I'm taken back to getting my vasectomy.
That's hilarious. Oh, man.
So there you go.
All right. You know, we're going to have like Trailer Junkies trivia one day, and it's going to be like Ted's vasectomy. And I don't know what else. You know, there'll be all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, there'll be some, like, weird fan out there who's going to know all these weird things we put out. You know, and they're just going to be, like, some stalker.
Oh, only if we're so lucky.
Oh, man. Come on. Come on, people. Come on. Tell your friends. Find stalkers for us. We want stalkers.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Ted, man.
T-Junkies Podcast on Twitter.
Yeah.
And on trailerjunkiespodcast.com is the good place, the website. It has all the links to all the different ways you could listen to it. And T-Junkies Podcast for me on Twitter. And I think that's also Instagram.
Well, no, Trailer Junkies Podcast on Instagram.
Oh.
You know, go to trailerjunkiespodcast.com. You can get everywhere you want to go from there. And you can even get over to my personal website, Jim Van Curd.
There you go.
You know, you can get to everything from Trailer Junkies Podcast. So
the hub.
Yeah, that's where we operate out of all of our shows, our links, our show notes. I mean, anywhere you want to subscribe to, just do that and, you know, whatever.
Awesome.
Tell your friends. All right, man. You have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun tonight, man. This was a good one. A little bit different than what we've been doing, I think. And yeah, totally cool.
Kept it light. This week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, light. A guy killing a bunch of gang members and stuff. That's totally light, you know? But whatever.
All right. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Ted. Bye.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.